Patrick, quit touching the table.
Yes, Mom.
I was the greatest offender of touching the table. I'm not sure that you were allowed to tell me when I'm allowed to or not allowed to touch the table.
I saw that finger.
No! It was a pointer finger! Oh my gosh.
All right, well, we're recording, so welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast.
Spooky edition.
Yeah, spooky edition. It's Halloween right around the corner. Halloween is my favorite holiday.
Hey, should we say who we are?
Yeah, why not? I'm Patrick, and with me, as always, here on the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we are talking about life, faith, how to take our faith beyond Sunday mornings into our lives, all those things going on at once. And we have a great team today. Hey, same team we have every week. All right.
We got to do this.
No. We keep going. We move forward.
Power through.
Yes.
I'm Pastor David. I'm the associate pastor here at Lord of Life.
And I'm Katie Phillips, and I am the director of our children's faith formation.
And
here we are.
Yes, that was
And
perfect.
I'm a little sleep deprived, and Katie and Patrick, you're one person now. Here, yes. It's been a busy time here, so we're all a little fired up this morning.
Yes.
Woo!
All right, so it is a spooky podcast, like we mentioned earlier, with Halloween right around the corner. And so we are doing something a little differently today. We're actually going to talk about three different things. We each have something prepared to discuss with the others. But first...
We'll use the term prepared loosely.
Maybe. We have levels of preparedness here. But first, let me ask you guys this. For Halloween, when you were a kid, do you have a favorite Halloween costume that you dressed up as?
Yeah.
I mean, I was She-Ra.
She-Ra?
Do y'all not know She-Ra? Oh, man.
So,
She-Ra, I'm thinking Shakira, but no, I don't think it's the same person.
She-Ra. Yeah. And she was the girl He-Man.
Yeah, yeah. She was a female warrior, fighter.
I guess.
Yeah.
She-Ra.
Yeah. Yes. I thought it really was her at some point.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I was not She-Ra. See, one year I dressed up as Dick Tracy.
Did you have a little watch that you talked into?
I did. Had a little watch and a trench coat. That was like 8 inches too long because not old enough to own a trench coat. And one year I dressed up as a robot. That was pretty cool. My mom helped me make a whole costume. I had little tissue boxes that we painted and made them into little
So is everything homemade?
Oh, yeah. Our costumes were always homemade.
Gotcha.
Sure. Yeah. Me too.
And usually handed down. So there are a lot of years that I was like Dracula or something like that because... 2 years before, my brother had been Dracula. And so now David's things like that.
There you go. That makes sense.
Yeah. My brother and sister like to remind me that when I was 3 months old, so I was born in July, my first Halloween, my brother was the big bad wolf. And Kim was, who's the character that goes running through the...
Little Red Riding Hood.
Thank you, Little Red Riding Hood.
Were you the grandma?
I was the grandma.
Aww. Yeah. Yes.
Little 3-month-old David was the grandma in the story. They never failed.
I bet you were a great grandma.
Yes. I think I would have been a great grandma.
But. Yes. Yeah, I think so. When I was a kid, I grew up in the 80s. One of my favorite movies at the time was a movie that really scared me a lot, which is a movie nobody really watches. It was called Return to Oz. It's a sequel to The Wizard of Oz.
What?
Yeah, it's very scary.
It is so scary.
Yeah, it was really scary for us as a kid. But I went as a character from Return to Oz. So instead of like Tin Man, Scarecrow, Cowardly Lion, Dorothy again has sidekicks. This one was a guy called Pumpkinhead, but a pumpkin for head. And so I made a paper mache pumpkin and I wore that. But it didn't really fit, so it would, like, move around when I walked. Mm-hmm. And so I had to, like, walk down the street, like, holding it with my hands in place as I trick-or-treat. So I look like a just pumpkin head who's got, like, a headache or a migraine or is just really exasperated.
So how is this different than the Headless Horseman?
His pumpkin is literally on his head. The Headless Horseman has no head.
But isn't the pumpkin the Headless Horseman's head? And sometimes it's on his shoulders and sometimes he's, like, holding it?
Okay, don't ask me. I did not create Return to Oz, okay?
All right,
you can take that up with whoever wrote Wicked. Yes.
All right.
The sequel. All right. So I, as a young boy, grew up in San Antonio, Texas. Go Spurs, go. And here we are, San Antonio, Texas. And in San Antonio, we had a lot of urban legends. Were there urban legends here in Houston, Katie?
Not that I know of.
Yeah,
I
mean, what about
maybe.
Yeah, they're
what about Dayton?
They're around Dayton and around the Ohio area.
Sure. Eat your veggies or the Wright brothers will come get you.
That's the one. There's an old broken down house at the top of a hill next to a golf course, and there are all sorts of legends about.
That's where the witch lives.
Yeah, the witch lives there, or, you know, whatever family had been killed there by some traveling whatever. There are lots of stories, because Ohio and the Dayton area was big in the Underground Railroad, and so there were a lot of stories that involved some urban legend around that process, too. But
Well, I mean, I guess now that I think about it, so Old Town Spring apparently is haunted.
Ooh.
The whole town.
Well, I don't know if it's the whole town, but for certain, the main street there by the Red Schoolhouse. The Red Schoolhouse is haunted. Like, they do ghost tours there. Oh, okay. Like, in that.
Yes.
So, FYI.
Have you all ever been on a ghost tour?
I have. Yeah. Here in Houston, I went on a ghost tour.
Nice.
It was pretty lame.
Yeah.
I can say that.
I did a ghost tour at the hotel in Estes Park, Colorado, that they used for some part of The Shining. I don't remember. Somehow it's connected to the movie The Shining, and they do ghost tours there. It was interesting. Yeah, it's a fascinating process.
Never been on a ghost tour, and I probably never will be.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Because I'm one of those scaredy cats. I don't do scary stuff.
Because there's a possibility that I'd meet a ghost.
Right, exactly.
Only on the tour, though. Right. I mean, like, if you don't go on tour, I think you're going to be okay. Yeah.
You got to pay the fee. They don't come out for nothing.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. All right.
So San Antonio, did you go on ghost tours in San Antonio?
Oh, yeah, for sure. San Antonio, I think partly because of its rich Hispanic culture, has a lot of urban legends. So we have El Chupacabra, which is a monster demon that eats goats. I didn't own a goat, so I guess I'm fine.
Awesome. Safe.
Yeah. There is the Haunted Hotel, which is downtown. Okay. There's the Donkey Lady.
We're not going to get it.
That's next Halloween. We'll talk about Donkey Lady.
We got to save something.
Yes, yes. Okay. But my favorite ghost story in San Antonio is called The Haunted Tracks, or The Ghost Tracks.
All right.
So this is an area in San Antonio where the legend is a train came and hit a school bus. A school bus stalled on the tracks, and the train hit it and killed everybody on board. And now the children on that school bus haunt this part of San Antonio.
On those train tracks. Okay.
And so if you go in your car and you put your car on the ghost tracks and put your car in neutral, the children will push your car off the tracks. And they say if you put baby powder on the back of your hands, you'll see fingerprints and handprints afterwards. You'll see.
Oh, on the back of your car.
Put it on the back. Yeah, yeah. Not in inside your car.
Right.
Outside the car.
Put it on the trunk of your car.
Yeah. You'll see those, you're dusting for ghost fingerprints, and you'll see those things. Mm-hmm. And it's in this neighborhood. All the streets are named after the kids that were killed in this bus crash.
All right. So let me ask question one.
Okay.
Is there historical evidence of this bus crash?
No, there is not.
So there's no evidence that the bus crash even happened.
That is correct.
Okay.
What, you got a question two?
Question two. Have you put your car on the tracks and
waited
for the kids to push
you
across?
Yes, I have. Multiple times. It's very fun. It's kind of spooky and creepy.
Did they push you across?
Of course, yeah. They're good ghost kids. I mean, they know what they're doing.
Are you for real?
Yes, this is for real.
Are these tracks on a hill? Are you just rolling down a hill?
Okay, so here's the thing.
Okay.
It is an optical illusion. It looks uphill, but it's actually downhill. So your car will just naturally go downhill. And the baby powder on the back of your car really just picks up your own handprints that you've put on there, not ghost kids. So it's just you had fingerprints on there. And all the streets in that name are actually named after the developer of the neighborhood's kids. But it's a really fun ghost story.
Right, it is a good ghost story.
I took a date there once in high school. Yeah.
That's a good date.
It was good, yeah.
I'm going to go check out this haunted ghost track. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
what?
Date
what?
Number one, and that was the only one. So.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, to the best of us. Sure. Okay. So that's kind of what I wanted to introduce us here as Pastor Dave and Katie. Each have something really special prepared for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got all these spooky things, and one of the things that we've been talking about as a group is we're trying to think about what to do in honor of Halloween and the special time. How do we think about ghosts and spiritual things in our world? How do we? And for most of us, I think we'd probably if you ask the question of people who sit in a church on an average Sunday morning, do you believe in angels? Most people are going to say yes. Mm-hmm. And do you believe in ghosts? Most people are probably going to say No. And so I think there are some lines that we draw, and I found that interesting. So I'm gonna read a story here. This is from the Gospel of Mark. It might sound familiar, but we're going to get into it a little bit.
Okay.
All right, so from the Gospel of Mark, when evening came, the disciples were out on a boat on the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning, walking on the sea. He intended to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. That's where they were all terrified. Yeah, that's the spooky part. It's otherwise it's not that spooky.
Yes.
Thank you for the appropriate live sound effects. But immediately Jesus spoke to the disciples and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat, wind ceased, and they were astounded, because who wouldn't be astounded? But, so we start with this expression of this story where the disciples see Jesus coming, and their first thought, according to the author of the Gospel of Mark, is there's a ghost coming to us. And so that makes me ask the question, did the disciples believe in ghosts?
Well, I would definitely say, at least in this situation, they saw something their brains could not comprehend, and it was easy to attribute that to a ghost, to the supernatural.
To the supernatural, yeah.
And we would also, maybe now, 2,000 years later, would say, yeah, something supernatural is happening.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's not what they expected or thought it was.
Right.
Katie, what do you think? Do you believe in ghosts?
Do I personally? I'd like to say no.
You'd like to say no. But would you? But would you say no, honestly?
Would that be the honest answer?
It's weird. I don't know.
It's
like,
not weird.
I don't. Okay. But, I mean...
What about...
Shadow people.
A shadow person.
For those of you at home, playing along at your home or in your car, wherever you happen to be listening to us, we've been having extensive conversation here as the Beyond Sunday team about a concept that Katie introduced Patrick and I to called shadow people. And according to Wikipedia and a few other sources that we've tried to find information on, essentially the shadow people are a ghost or a supernatural something.
It's a shadow. It's like a human-looking shadow.
Like Peter Pan?
Like... No, what?
He has a shadow.
I understand what you're saying, but no, I mean, yes. It's like a blob-type figure that's in the shape of a human.
So as opposed to a ghost, this is the thing that I've been trying to figure out. As opposed to a ghost, there's no facial feature or distinction of what this...
Well, I don't know. Have you seen a ghost?
...looks like. I've not seen a ghost,
okay,
no.
So I don't...
But people tell me that when they see ghosts, they can identify...
Like you can can make out the eyes and the nose and face, whatever. But shadow people are just like a blob, like a shadow. You don't
see... So there's no distinct features about them. You often see them out of the corner of your eye.
Yes, like they're out of like peripheral vision really quick, but then when you turn to look, they're gone.
Right. Now, we could come up with all sorts of scientific explanations for what might be going on with this supposed shadow person, right? But I think it's more helpful for our conversation to think about what does it mean for us to encounter the supernatural in a way that is faithful to the fact that we believe there are supernatural things at play in the world.
Sure.
None of us have a problem believing that there are angels at work or that God exists or that there are saints who have died and we believe are in heaven or in another worldly existence beyond our understanding, beyond a physical presence. So even for myself, who I would say I do not believe in ghosts, right? That's just what I would say.
Sure.
But I would... Now, having had this conversation, I would ask myself, why am I so convinced that that's not possible, that it's not happening, that supernatural beings, whether they be humans who have died or something else, are still able to be present among us and perhaps even be visible to us from time to time?
Sure, yeah. I think ultimately, you know, we each kind of land on what, within our own supernatural understanding, seems plausible or implausible. And what happens when those things come at end? So, like, scripturally speaking, I believe when you die, your soul essence being is taken from this earth to whatever the next step is in that process before eternity. And so a ghost would kind of put my supernatural belief about heaven into conflict.
And because so, I'm not supposed to be here anymore.
Yeah, because that's against what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to go move on from this earth into the next one. And so what's going, you know, that just seems like that's just out of what I already have come to the table believing. And I'm not saying that that means ghosts are not true, but that's like how I approach it. And now this is new evidence or new theory that conflicts what I already believe. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That's a helpful way for us to think about it.
Well, and I think, too, like going back to, like, it's easy for us to believe in angels and that there are things here doing good, and then, but then having the idea of, like, an evil thing or what we perceive to be evil would be like, I don't want to believe in that, or I can't, or that's not real. Is it because it's evil, or and then we believe in angels because angels are positive? Like,
do we assume ghosts are evil? Is Casper the friendly ghost? Is that a thing in real life?
No, I liked him. He was a nice little character.
He was very friendly. Mm-hmm. He would smile at you. But he had three quote-unquote evil uncles. Cause I don't remember the relationship here, right? But there was something happening. So, I mean, are there good ghosts? Or could there be good ghosts and bad? And if there were a good ghost, would that change our understanding? Mm-hmm. Like, if we saw, let's phrase it this way. If I saw a good ghost, would I just assume it was an angel?
All right.
I need a reaction here somewhere. Yeah. I think that for me, like, I think you get a great question, Katie. You know, is it the positive versus the negative? Like, we want to look for the things that are good, but we know that evil exists in the world. Mm-hmm. Jesus acknowledges the presence of demons and other supernatural powers.
Sure.
And it seems as though the disciples at least have some level of belief in something that we might call a ghost, or that they called a ghost, some supernatural. Yeah. Otherworldly thing.
And going back to scripture too, like, there is a story in the Old Testament where Saul is looking for guidance from Samuel, the prophet who has died. And so he goes to a witch to summon the ghost of Samuel to give him guidance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, and he has this experience with a ghost Samuel in the story. So the scripture does touch down on this kind of, you know, so, but yeah, I think, ultimately, I think for all of us, when it comes to the unexplained, and for a long time, the unexplained, there's a sound outside my window that I cannot explain or identify. It's easy to attribute that to the supernatural. Or this thing happened, I saw something out of the corner of my eye that I did not register with what's real for me. And so it's easy to attribute that to a ghost, to the supernatural, to these things. But I think for Christians, for me, you know, that supernatural stuff is attributed to God, to Jesus, or to Satan, demons, which maybe we'll get into in a little bit. And so it's hard to, so again, sometimes it's hard to come to this table being like, well, what about these extra stuff that is outside of my already, my realm of supernatural acceptance is already pretty full.
Yeah.
And so what happens when I encounter something outside of that? It's easy just to be like, just to engulf that into what I already believe. Just to bring that over and be like, oh, that supernatural experience I had, yeah, that was angels, demons, whatever it is I already believe. It's just lumped in there.
Yeah. I think too, where for me, where I struggle is the idea that someone's, at least the limited understanding that I have of ghost stories and having heard of, like, hauntings and things like that, is that somehow someone dies, usually in an unfortunate way, and suddenly their soul is, like, trapped in that area. And, like, their soul can't escape that area. And that for me, I think, really comes into conflict with what we believe about the gospel and what we believe about God and the power of redemption, that our soul does not become trapped because of how we die.
Sure.
If I die in a horrible fire in a hotel, or if I die because some crazy traveler or whatever came in and killed my whole family in the night or something. You know, there's horrible things that we hear that lead up to ghost stories. I don't think that has an impact on God's ability to redeem our soul. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that our soul is trapped in a particular area is where I usually fall into struggle with this.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's room in our faith. There's room in that place for us to think seriously about what does it mean for us to be aware of the supernatural in a way that we are not currently. I mean, throughout the history of the Christian church and the Jewish church before that, there has been a place for the supernatural. And I think that within the last age of, what was it called? Thomas Jefferson and all of them had the age of
Enlightenment.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. with the age of Enlightenment, we gotta find a scientific reason for everything. We've got to be able to prove it. And I think we've lost some elements that can be really meaningful and powerful if we open ourselves up to it.
Sure, yeah. Well, I think that maybe brings us to Katie. You have something prepared for us as well.
So do. Both Pastor David and Patrick have read this book, and I had not until now. The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yes, okay, so
man, our
again,
live sound effects are on point today.
Very out of my comfort zone, because I do tend to lean into I like the angels world, and then this is kind of like, oh.
So why don't you tell us quickly, like, what's Screwtape about?
Okay, so Screwtape is a collection of letters.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 30 of them-ish. And written by Screwtape.
Mm-hmm.
to Wormwood. Mm-hmm. Screwtape would be your evil devil type character. And then Wormwood is actually like a fallen angel, if you want to go back to like the first fall and all. He is a student of Screwtape's who is learning how to turn people, humans, toward evil
away
and
from God.
Away from God. Yes. Let's just put that.
So we could say that like Screwtape would be like your regional manager. And Wormwood would be your account manager. So, mm-hmm. you know, the theory behind the book is that all of us have a demon assigned to us. Mm-hmm. So we can say for the sake of this conversation that I have Wormwood assigned to me. And Screwtape is Wormwood's boss. And Wormwood is trying to give Screwtape advice, essentially, on how to turn me away from God. Turn me away from the faith. Yeah.
Right. So it was just very interesting to read. Kind of opened my eyes to how, and I don't know that I necessarily believe in demons, that we really are given like a specific person or thing, demon, I don't even know what they are, a supernatural being assigned to us that is like, you are to help lead Katie astray and off of
her course.
There's not
a little red demon on one shoulder.
I don't have a little devil on my shoulder and a little white angel telling me what to do. But I thought it was interesting, and I really kind of made clear to me more that we as humans, I think, carry around our own demons. Mm-hmm. That there's not things or people telling us what to do, what not to do, but I think we hold on to our own stuff, and our perception of things, and that can lead us kind of down the evil path. I don't. Yeah. That's taking a whole nother spin things.
Sure. But. I think Lewis would probably agree with you. I don't think that Lewis wrote this from a perspective of, hey, we actually have these demons sitting on our shoulder. But I think that's, you know, ultimately his argument as well, is that we are the ones who are distracting ourselves and turning ourselves away. There was a really interesting, or part that I find really interesting in the book, where the, I forget what they call the person, but the one that
the patient.
The patient. Thank you. The patient is starts going to church. Mm-hmm. And the boss's Screwtape's response is, oh, that's no big deal. They can go to church all they want. We can use church to turn them away from God. That's one part that I always find.
And I think that goes back to, the hypocrisy and people that see that Christians do this and, you know, just continue to get in their head and make them think that, you know, it's all about them. It's not really about God. When he prays, when the patient prays, make sure he's praying about himself, not actually praying to God, not including God in that conversation. So I thought all of that was very interesting.
Yeah. So how does this change or shift your perspective of supernatural, or how you encounter the supernatural in your day to day?
I don't know that it affects. I mean, I'm not looking again for like demons or little, shadow people or whatever out of the corner of my eyes. You know what I mean? Like that kind of supernatural thing. But I do tend to think more like consciously about what am I thinking about? Where are my thoughts? Like, and I obviously I'm in control of that, or I think I am, you know, right? We all think that we're in control of what we're thinking. So I guess I'm monitoring things differently. The way I think, the way I see things, my perception of, oh wait, maybe I should be thinking this way instead of thinking the way I'm currently thinking. So I think it's interesting.
Well, when it comes to this idea of demons, and I think that Screwtape letters probably isn't exactly what C.S. Lewis believes about the supernatural. There's maybe an allegory or an analogy. In Mere Christianity, he does argue for there is a devil. He believes that. Mm-hmm. So he believes in some sort of spiritual evil, a supernatural evil in our world, what that looks like. But when it comes to applying this to scripture, and I work with teenagers, so I get this question a lot, and that is, in the Bible with Jesus, he encounters demons often. Where are they? And what's going on with demons today?
Yeah.
Do we still see, or is this still happening, that demons are around us as we do live our lives, demons are just around? So what do you think? As a pastor. Put on that clerical collar.
I think Lewis addresses this in Screwtape Letters, and so I'll use his point as a launching pad. You know, his allegory that he uses is that, you know, throughout history, as Screwtape is writing to Wormwood, throughout history, we've had different ways of taking shape. And so this is how we do it now. Like, mm-hmm. this is how the humans are thinking about it now. So this is how we have to do it. So once upon a time, we did it. We could just be out in the open and we could, you know, be a demon that was screaming at Jesus. And that worked for a while. But now that stopped working. So we changed our tactics, right? And so I think that is a helpful way for us to think about that, that if truly there are beings that exist in order to turn us away from God, as we understand more about God, or as we come into new relationships with God or new experiences with God, they will have to change their strategies. Just like if you're going into a football game, right, and you come into contact with the defense for the first time, you start to figure out the defense because you figure out what they're doing.
Sure.
The defense has to change their strategy to try to be more effective. And so I think it's reasonable to say that we do not experience demons and the supernatural in the same way that it is described in Scripture.
Yeah.
I still think that there are supernatural powers at play in the world. And I think there's ample evidence to suggest that both good and bad happens beyond our understanding of what is happening physically within our existence.
Sure.
You know, what we've stopped doing, and I think appropriately enough, you know, we've stopped assuming that if you have a mental illness, you have a demon. Or that if you have a disability of some form, that that's a demon. I don't think that is a healthy view of the supernatural.
Absolutely
either,
not, yeah.
Right? I want to be clear on that. But there are definitely ways, and Katie, I think you alluded to this a little bit, there are definitely ways that our own thinking is used against us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we think about ourselves, or we think about doing the right thing for the sake of for the sake of our own benefit,
mm-hmm.
We put our own needs first, even when we're thinking. We do this all the time, and so mm-hmm. I think it's reasonable to think that there are powers at play in the world that have us think that way. In the same way that any of us who might say, if we're in a horrible accident, and we see the car and it's crumpled in every which way and it's laying on its side and it turned over 8 times or whatever, and everybody walks away untouched,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, a family walks out untouched. We might all say, wow, angels were protecting
right.
that family, right?
Yes, for sure.
I think it's reasonable to say that there are other powers at work in the world, too. I'm not sure that I want to go so far as to say that the other powers flipped the car and
right.
the angels just happened to win that battle.
Mm-hmm.
But there's ample reason for us to think there are spiritual powers at play in the world that we do not understand.
Yeah.
In a similar way, the Old Testament in particular talks about the gods of other nations, right? And
mm-hmm.
Many of those gods we still have today. It's just that we don't call them gods anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're still very concerned about power, and there were gods for power. We're very concerned with wealth, and there were gods of money. We're very concerned about sexual relationships, and there were gods of
sexual relationships.
Sure,
fertility gods,
right,
things like that. Yeah.
I mean, so we might not call them gods now, but we still give all of those things power in our lives, and
mm-hmm.
sometimes
mm-hmm.
give them power before the God who created us and mm-hmm. named us and numbered the hairs on our head. So in the same way, I think we've almost we've made it scientific to think about demons as well. So
mm-hmm.
we've tried to explain away, couldn't possibly be demons. And in one sense, pretending like demons don't exist makes it that much easier for them to
mm-hmm.
do their work.
Absolutely, for sure. And that's... I think, a good quote that I think is in some movie that I saw recently was like, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, and whether that's a guy with horns or just a spiritual evil is convincing it's not really there.
Right. I mean, think about Nazi Germany. I mean, they were convincing everyone that the Holocaust, the concentration camps didn't exist.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, and if you can convince someone that something's not real,
mm-hmm.
then you can do whatever you need to do.
For sure,
right?
For
I mean,
sure.
I think that in a lot of ways, that's our battle now, is saying it is real and it's okay that we don't understand it.
Yeah.
But it's there, yeah.
Yeah, and in this question that I've processed with teenagers often, this idea of like, well, how come Jesus is just seeing demons everywhere he goes? Just like,
mm-hmm.
boom, there's a demon. Boom, there's a demon. There's just demons everywhere. When Jesus is walking through the village, everybody's got demons, it seems
mm-hmm.
like. And like, why is that? And so I thought of this analogy here, and you can help me process this if this is an appropriate analogy. But all of us have watched movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you buy a movie now, usually it comes with a list of special features.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so the movie itself is kind of like life. Like you're watching this movie, it's kind of like you're watching life play out in this movie. And one of the special features on your DVD case is a director's commentary.
Yeah, mm-hmm. sure.
And so you're watching the movie, you're watching life, and you put the director's commentary on, you're seeing all the behind-the-scenes image of what's
mm-hmm.
going on
mm-hmm.
to make life happen.
Mm-hmm.
Things that are not shown to us, we're hearing about. Mm-hmm. So the director is telling us everything that went into there. Usually the director we never even see on screen, but we're seeing their vision and life happen simultaneously in one movie setting. And so when it comes to Jesus, he is fully God, so he's fully life going on, or fully man, so fully life going on, and fully God, so we're seeing all the behind-the-scenes things at once happening in Jesus. Like, he is both of those things combined. Mm. And so that's why I think he is able to see behind the scenes or pick up on everything that's going behind the scenes much easier or clearer than obviously any of us ever could.
Right.
Because he's the director's commentary over life itself. Yeah. And so he's exploring everything that went into making this one scene in my life happen. Yeah. He knows everything that went into that and everything that's going to come past that. But for me, the audience, or me, the actor, I only know that scene.
Right.
So what do you think about that? Does that make sense, or how does that analogy work for us? When how come Jesus is seeing demons everywhere for us? I think he is seeing behind the scenes of life in a clearer way than we ever could.
I like that analogy. I think that makes it very clear. He knew everything that was going to happen and continues to know things that are going to happen and continues to provide opportunities for us to make choices in which we'll go, where he still knows the end result. I mean, he does, God knows all of this stuff. And Jesus knew God's plan and knew where he was going while living it out. So I think that is accurate.
Yeah. I like the director's commentary analogy. And I want to do a sermon series now called Jesus, the Director's Commentary. Or
sure. Yeah,
I think
that'd be
fun. But, we'll play that one out later. Yeah. But the thing that I'm thinking about too is, if we think about this as a battle that's going on, right, essentially for humanity itself.
Sure.
When God essentially comes down to enemy lines, right? I mean, our understanding is that the world has been given over to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And so God comes down and is behind enemy lines. Suddenly I think they have to change their strategy again, if we're going to think of it that way. It's almost like, of course, they're going to come out of the woodwork because they're doing everything they can to try to throw them off or throw this guy off. But I also think that they were in play in the Gospels where they're not mentioned, right? I think they're in play within the power of the Pharisees and the Sadducees who are going to ultimately move for Jesus to be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're at play in the power of crowds who are going to shout, crucify him before Pilate, right? And so, in those places, demons are not mentioned, but I think they're at play as much.
A supernatural evil can still be present.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, for everybody listening, we want you guys to have a happy Halloween this week.
Be safe.
Yes. Whatever that means for you, if that is trick-or-treating as a family, watching a spooky movie, or if it's we're a family that doesn't celebrate Halloween. I don't get it, but more power to you.
That's right. Yeah. You do you.
Yeah.
And if you're going trick-or-treating, make sure that your parents or whoever looks at all your candy first. And
yes.
Those things are myths.
I still think you should look at the candy
first. Actually, make sure it hasn't been opened.
Right. Never mind. We're not going to get into that. But be safe. Have a good time and dress up as ghouls and goblins and whatnot and see what happens. Or dress up as an angel because they're supernatural too. So you never know.
Yeah, for sure. All right. One of the things we're doing new this week is we're going to have a recommendation for you as listeners, some things for you to engage in.
I feel like we need a big sound effect here, like trumpets blaring or something.
I'll put one in post.
Put that in post.
A big, maybe we'll come up with a jingle for it. The recommendation jingle. All right. So every week, one of us will give a recommendation of just something for you to engage in. And I'm going to go this week. And we've already talked about
it. Because it was your idea.
My idea, yes. And we've already talked about this. So I'm going to recommend The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. And I'm really going to just recommend, if you've never read anything by C.S. Lewis, get on it. He is really, really great.
More than just The Chronicles of Narnia.
And The Chronicles of Narnia are also
great. Excellent, but there's way more out there. Yeah.
If you want fantasy and whimsy, he's got that. If you want serious, deep theological thinking, he's got that, and everything in between. So The Screwtape Letters is a good place to start because it's a little bit of both. You get some fantasy aspects of this letters from a demon to another demon while also having really deep theological stuff woven into it, or deep human issues. So I definitely recommend The Screwtape Letters, and I also think Mere Christianity is a book every Christian should read.
That's excellent. Yeah,
but it's pretty tough.
Yeah,
Screwtape Letters is a little easier to digest. Yeah.
Great Divorce, another great one, but also a little bit tough. Yes. Throw that one out there. Yeah. If you're interested in heaven and hell and demons and stuff like that, Great Divorce.
Are you talking about my parents?
No, I'm not talking about your parents.
edit all that. All right, so that's our recommendation this week. Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, or really anything by C.S. Lewis, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right. So where can they find us?
Yeah, so you can find us at beyondasundaypodcast.com. That's our website. We've got all of our latest episodes there. You can comment. You can share. There are links to our Facebook page at Beyond Sunday Podcast on Facebook, as well as our Instagram, beyond_Sunday. Mm-hmm. You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify currently. And if there's another venue that you want to listen to us on that we're not on, you're probably not hearing this right now, but let us know, and we will work on getting that to happen, too. We hope that this is a meaningful experience. We're having a lot of fun doing it. We hope you're having fun listening along at home. We've heard that people want to be in conversation with us sometimes, so please reach out, leave a comment, be sure to rate and review, and we would love to engage in that conversation as well. So let us know what you think.
Yeah, thank you.
And there it is. All right. I hope everyone is sufficiently scared now.
Yes, you should be. All right, thanks for listening.